Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Haven Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Dave, you and I are staring at the monitors here, and we're noticing that President Biden is addressing, it looks like, the nation right now.
And right now, he is thanking the Republican leaders.
Remember this time. History will remember this moment. For all the talk about how dysfunctional things are in Washington, when you look over the past 3 years, we see that time and again on the critical issues, we've actually come together. It hadn't always been easy. But when it's come time to decide to rebuild America, we did it with a bipartisan infrastructure law, which is just underway. When it came time to invest in our semiconductor industry and technologies of the future, we
He's
did
actually
it
speaking on the foreign aid package that just passed the House and the Senate as well.
Yeah, and celebrating the fact that they've been able to come together on some big pieces of legislation. This is a very large one, $95 billion set aside for Ukrainian funding of the war against Russia, Israel, and then as well as Taiwan. I think there is a TikTok element to this as well that got squeaked through, but that's, I don't know, that's kind of an odd man out.
Yeah, we'll continue to follow this story. I want to just dip back into this for about another minute or so, Don, if you can pull up that sound in the control room there for us.
It is a bipartisan consensus for that kind of American leadership. That's exactly what we'll continue to deliver. I thank you all very much, and I'm going off to make a speech at the hotel I'm late for.
Well, that was short and sweet. We'll continue that discussion throughout the show today and also get analysis from Boyd as well.
Short, sweet, and no questions taken. It's 9:08. It's time for the launch.
Engaged.
The launch is brought to you by Master Electrical Services, home of the upfront pricing guarantee. And here are the three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown three.
I call this a win for workers who've been shackled by non-compete agreements where they can't jump ship or start their own company for a certain amount of time after they leave their current employer. Federal Trade Commission's new rule, non-competes are void. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to go in depth on what this means if you are in one right now. You know, President Biden at the State of the Union indicated banning them, Dave, would be a win for workers. Here's how he couched it.
We're banning those agreements so companies have to compete for workers and pay them what they're worth.
I had no idea how common a non-compete is. 30 million workers, Debbie.
Yeah.
That was shocking to me.
Countdown two.
There's a new report out that says to feel financially comfy living in Utah. They analyzed all the states, but I'm going to pick on Utah here, Dave. A family of four has to bring in $218,000 in income a year. How in the world is that true? Wow. Things have gotten so wild. So 50% of that income goes to necessities like housing and electricity and gas. 30% is discretionary spending, according to this formula. And 20% gets plucked into savings and investments. Now, if you want to feel comfy on less income, you got to move to Arkansas. You need $180,000 a year there.
How much do you need here?
$218,000.
Did this report just pull a number out of a bag? Just they reached in, they pulled out. Do they think we all make $218,000? Like, there's no way this formula works. But we're making a sacrifice somewhere. You know, if the math isn't mathing, then where are we skimping? And I think I know.
Launch countdown. One.
We've been following this very wild story in Holiday since last night. Actually started yesterday afternoon. And a homeowner dials up a friend and wasn't sure what to do with a, I guess it's a family heirloom. Certainly something that is really, really unique. Dynamite. Listen.
So I can tell you right now that it is ancient dynamite. A lot.
Isn't that hilarious? In my family, we passed down signed baseballs, Pete Rose, Sandy Koufax, Ken Griffey Jr. We don't pass down volatile, dangerous, deadly sticks of dynamite.
Dave and Janovic.
The launch.
Commence.
Well, Dave's pretty impatient, so let's skip to the end of the story, and we'll get you up to speed on how we got here in just a moment with Adam Small, who's standing by live. The end of the story is they blew up this ancient dynamite. I'm going to play some audio here so you can listen to it. I don't want to freak you all out as you're driving on the freeway. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
What time was that happening?
I think it was happening early morning.
Yeah. Before the sun rose.
The dynamite was a bit of a family heirloom, according to KSL5 Television's Andrew Adams, who was there late last night. He spoke to Unified Fire Captain Tony Barker.
The information that we received was the dynamite was passed down from generation to generation. So how old it is, we actually do not know.
So Adam Small joins us, KSL News Radio, have been reporting on this. Where are we at? Where did this happen?
So, Dave, this is at a home in this really quiet neighborhood right off of 6200 South, 2300 East. And there's not much more to it. I mean, that detonation happened, according to the homeowners I've talked to, probably about 4 o'clock this morning. It was loud. One guy actually told me he could feel the shockwave and still a plume of smoke just continuing to bellow out of this home just up the road from where I was sitting here just a minute ago. And it's it's quite the sight. Definitely not an everyday occurrence in a neighborhood like this.
So, Adam, when you said 6200 South and 2300 East, I've driven by that intersection billions of times because I live right up there. In fact, that's right on my running route for a decade or more. How big was this house? Is it now destroyed?
Well, they had a stage to the point that we couldn't get a super good look at the house because it was still an active fire. But everyone that I've talked to that got a close look at it, this house is not livable anymore. Still on fire. Obviously, those explosions were big enough like that no one's going to be living in this house anytime soon.
It seems so suspicious to have dynamite. The initial investigation, did they think there was some sort of intent or dangerous intent with hoarding this dynamite?
Actually not, thankfully. So Captain Barker, the one we just played a sound clip from, so he said that despite there being, you know, just this huge stash of very unstable dynamite, they don't believe, at least at this point, that there was any malicious intent. Obviously, they're going to have to keep going on with an investigation into this because it doesn't stop with what we're covering today. But, I mean, right now, it seems like just an honest dude who called a friend and was like, hey, can you come take a look at this? I don't know what to do with this. I don't know why make the phone call just now, but right now they suspect no malicious intent.
Adam, do a coworker a favor. Will you snap a photo of the neighborhood you're in and would you text it to me? Because I want to see if I've been running by that house for the last decade. I'm not kidding you. I mean, this was my neighborhood for like 30 years, or at least, you know, I lived a couple miles from there, but I was always right around 6200 South and 2300 East, very familiar with that. I am absolutely astounded that this has been going on and that this is how it went down early this morning. Adam Small, live on scene for us on holiday, going to stay out there for a bit, keep an eye on things. Text me that photo, Adam, or text Caitlin, our producer, that photo. I'd love to see that neighborhood firsthand. Straight ahead, we're going to have Unified Fire Authority. I think they've been on there on scene day for almost 24 hours out there since they were first called out yesterday afternoon. They're going to call the show in just a moment on this ancient dynamite.
It is ancient dynamite. A lot.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic.
You just heard Amanda reporting about that home and holiday. Certainly hard to imagine this happening at a home near you.
28 years in the fire service, I've never seen this.
Dynamite. Found in a home.
It is ancient dynamite. A lot.
We're told it was a family heirloom.
The information that we received was the dynamite was passed down from generation to generation. So how old it is, we actually do not know.
And then at 4 o'clock in the morning this morning came the detonation.
Now, apparently there was nothing sinister about this home filled with dynamite. The family keepsake, the heirloom, something Uncle Bob hung on to and Aunt Millie just hoarded it away. The dangers that exist in our neighborhoods that we have no idea about. Kind of crazy that we're looking at, it's sitting there probably for decades, but it was so dangerous that they felt the need to detonate it at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Chief Riley Pilgrim with the Unified Fire Authority, thanks so much for jumping on the line. I know your crews are out there. I guess it's going on almost 24 hours now. So how is everybody in the neighborhood, and the firefighters, the bomb squad, is everybody okay, or there been any injuries?
No injuries, thank goodness. Yeah. Everyone performed their jobs exceptionally well. It was a very long-duration incident that took a lot of complex problem solving, a lot of teamwork, a lot of collaboration with different agencies. And we were able to take care and mitigate this problem without hurting anybody, thankfully. So,
can you walk us through what happened when you get a call about this dynamite? Do you actually have to check it out with human eyes, or do you send a robot down there?
We have quite a few different ways to do it. It was discovered by humans. So they were cleaning and taking care of some of the property. They came across this, became concerned. We were notified, and then we have trained specialists. We have a bomb team. They respond with specialized equipment, and with that equipment, they can definitely look into boxes, look into different packages, whatever, and identify what was in there. And with their familiarity, with their training, it was very clear and evident, and with the information we got from the homeowner, that there was a significant quantity of very old dynamite stored within this property.
So was it inside the home and then in the yard or the shed?
Both, actually. Okay. And that's what made this so challenging, is there was a pretty large quantity. We're estimating about 20 to 25 pounds of dynamite in the shed out back, in a pretty tight neighborhood, a lot of houses nearby. And then there was about 6 to 8 pounds of dynamite in the basement, along with both locations, the shed and the basement, just had a variety of other chemicals that are commonly used with explosives. That had likely been stored for, as you shared earlier, decades. And nothing nefarious, it didn't seem like. It is scary because some people, I mean, they just hold on to this stuff and we're not sure why, but it poses a risk to them. the community and the first responders, and everybody has to take care of it. And like I said, it's usually not nefarious, but it's certainly dangerous.
What makes it so unstable or dangerous?
I can't get all the way into the chemistry of it, but dynamite, as it ages, actually begins to crystallize, and a lot of the components in that dynamite become extremely sensitive to ignition sources or even just being moved around. So some dynamite or explosives are actually so sensitive that if they get a certain amount of light on them, a certain amount of heat, if they get tipped over, knocked over, dropped, they will detonate without any warning. And so we had to move some of these in a pretty significant distance. And then the quantity that was in the house was too, we evaluated our options, and it was too unsafe to put people in there to actually move it. The robot couldn't get it out. And so for the safety of the adjacent properties and the first responders, the best method was to detonate the dynamite from the shed outside in a secured location within a trench that we prepared. And then the other one was, unfortunately, within the basement. It just wasn't safe to move it out.
Wow. This is such a wild story. If our listeners are just joining us, are you just tuning in because you're sitting in that traffic mess on I-15? We're talking about dynamite found in a home in Holiday, 6200 South and about 2300 East. It was detonated, and I'm going to play the detonation right now. At 4 o'clock in the morning this morning, the home is now unlivable. It's been in the yard. You just heard about how much of it was in the shed. What sparked, no pun intended, the call yesterday? Any ideas?
Yeah, like I said, the homeowner came across some things that they were concerned with. Familiarity that there had been some things stored on site, just not aware of her significant other's hobby or you know, his collection. She knew there was some stuff in there, but not fully aware of the danger. But she knew it wasn't good, and so she reached out to her friend for help, and then we were notified, and we began that process. And it was urgent. It was a public safety matter, and we know 4 o'clock in the morning is a very – it seems like an odd time to do this, but traffic was at a minimum, and it took several hours to prepare the site to make it safe to do this. And we determined that was not worth waiting any longer. This was something that was so hazardous. And whether it was 4 a.m. or 4 p.m., it had to be dealt with as soon as we were prepared to do it.
Well, that answers one of my questions about why 4 a.m. Like, it's been sitting around for decades, and you're saying that because nobody's out walking the dog, traffic is low, that ends up being an optimal time, it sounds like.
Optimal, maybe. It's hard because we had to evacuate quite a few people at a very very difficult hour of the night, right? We issued evacuations between 12:30 and 1 a.m., and they're out of their homes until about 5 a.m. this morning. So we take that very seriously. It's something that we spent a lot of time talking about, but again, we just felt like the hazard was so extreme. And you're right, even though it was stored 40 years, the fact that we had found it, it had been tampered with or touched, or it was completely unpredictable, and the best course of action we felt at that time was just to take care of it as soon as we were ready to do so.
How far out do you evacuate?
That one is based off of pretty accurate calculations that our bomb team is trained to perform. This was 1,500 feet radius, so 3,000 feet circle around the address of the home. So it was probably about upwards of 700 people in Holiday that we had to evacuate.
I have so many questions. I don't even know where. I know we have our time is so limited, but I guess the thing is I thought if you had dynamite, I don't know, you had to have some. When I think of dynamite, I think of like the old cartoons from the 70s, and you know, I mean, I've never heard of anything like this. I thought you had to have some sort of permit or something to have this stuff, but it sounds like no.
Typically you do. I mean, it definitely wasn't stored properly. It was in a location that is definitely not zoned for that kind of thing. I mean, unfortunately, homeowners that have a lot of things in their homes that tend to be dangerous if they are not handled properly. Not a lot of people, but I mean, on occasion you see news stories about people who have ammunition or military rounds or dynamite even on occasion. And it's, you know, relics as people things held onto. They didn't know they were dangerous at the time. There's so many different stories behind it, and yeah, unfortunately, people just don't understand the risk of these kind of things.
Just real quickly, is there going to be any citations issued because they had that, or is this just is it done and over with now?
I think it's done and over with. I can't really speak to the final state of this. Okay. I mean, it definitely did some damage to adjacent properties. We tried to minimize that as much as possible. I've been in touch with Holiday City overnight. I worked with them closely, with the homeowner, with all the homeowners here impacted by this. We've been in contact with every single person that may have done this, and they're definitely, you know, they're bothered, they're upset, they're sad, it's their homes, but they're extremely grateful that no one was hurt,
yeah.
And it wasn't any worse. And so it's one of those interesting situations where, of course, we don't want this to happen, but if it was to happen, it happened the best way it possibly could have, I guess, in our world, is in a controlled environment where nobody was hurt.
Chief Pilgrim, thank you for joining us from UFA. What a story, Debbie. And to that question of do you have charges that are pending, that are coming?
Mm-hmm.
One thing you don't want to do is scare people away
from
reporting this kind of stuff.
Ooh, man. Okay, we're going to continue to track this story. Adam Small, KSL News Radio, still out on the scene. He just texted me some photos of the area, and I'm very familiar with that area. That was on my running route every single week, a few times a week. He also said, hey, if you want to see photos of the area, you can follow him at Adam Small KSL on Twitter. So we'll bring you an update throughout the show. Straight ahead, I just heard the president right off the top of the show speaking, addressing the nation about the passage of the foreign aid package by the House and now by the Senate. Well, we happen to have Senate candidate John Curtis sitting in the hall. He's walking in right now. We're going to ask him about his vote on this foreign aid bill and also the TikTok ban next.